We love supporting and promoting the creators of musical theater throughout the world, and we would love to have your support as well. Go to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the Become a Patron button, because a supportive community is a strong community. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. If you like YouTube and musical theater and theater history, have I got a sight for you. Today, we are speaking with the creator of the YouTube channel, Broadway by Ghostlight. Let's get to know him and his channel. Let's welcome to the show, Mark Bonanni. Mark, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Jean-Paul? I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, I found your website, your YouTube channel, I mean, and I was like, I got to talk to this guy. it was
somebody wants to talk to me. I've been just editing in my little hole by myself, you know.
Yep.
It's nice to come out and see the sun and talk to somebody.
That's the problem when you're doing something like YouTube, right? It's a lot of just you in front of your computer.
A lot of listening to yourself talk over and over again. You have to get over. That was hard in the beginning, was listening to myself talk. I'm not one of those people that enjoyed listening to themselves, and you have to get over that real quick.
Nice. Well, I always like to find out about the person I'm going to talk to, because I know a little bit about you because I've had to do research, but our listeners might not know you at all. So I'd like to get the 30-second bio. So who is Mark in 30 seconds?
30 seconds. So I grew up in Southern California, but I think because of the Muppets Take Manhattan, I'd always wanted to move to New York and be in theater. That's the only reason I can think of, because nobody in my family was theater related. They're all race car drivers. And for some reason I wanted to be in theater and moved to New York from Southern California. It's got to be Muppets Take Manhattan. So I moved there for school. I went to AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, to be a performer. And then fell in love with the history side of things and started working merchandise on Broadway. The first show I worked was History Boys and Spamalot, and then worked my way up until I was the senior manager. So I worked and managed about over 70 Broadway and off-Broadway shows. Doing merchandise. And then I toured for 3.5 years doing merchandise with my wife. So that was a lot of fun. And then, now we live in Brooklyn and I have this little history channel, and I have 2 daughters and a beautiful wife who normally works on Broadway. Her show is not reopening, so she's out of a job for right now, but she normally works on Broadway as a dresser.
Nice.
And that's all I can think of.
Very cool. So growing up, you said NASCAR in the family, and so you were the black sheep, and
yeah, I mean, they were all very supportive.
Yeah.
There wasn't really any, there was not a lot of arts in my family, but it was, you know, I did a play in fourth grade. I was handed like a script. It was a little play we were doing about the gold rush. And I picked what part I wanted. I memorized it that day and I really got into it. And then my grandfather and grandmother had a subscription to the Orange County Performing Arts Center, which is the local, you know, touring place. And they got me a ticket to see Marie Osmond in The Sound of Music. I was very young. It wasn't even seeing the show. It was getting the ticket. It was like the only thing I can think of when priests talk about a calling.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, it felt like destiny. I didn't know what it was or why I loved it, but I already was hooked. Just getting the ticket, I found my place. So I've been hooked ever since.
Nice. So when you were growing up in high school, did you always wanted to get into theater, or was there another occupation that kind of went,
No, I was theater 100%, 130%. I did community theater. It was a children/community theater. I was very active there and then did shows all through middle school and high school.
So you went after high school, you said you went to AMDA, correct?
Yep.
So what made you choose there? What made you choose to fly all the way across the other side of the country?
I was always going to move to New York.
Okay.
That was my dream. And AMDA, it was... academics and me never really got along, so it was it's a 2-year conservatory program, so I didn't have to get like a general education, so that was appealing, and just sort of get in there and see if performing was for me. And it performing was for me, but the audition process and all that other stuff was not for me.
Okay.
And, you know, if you can't take that stuff, get out. And so I did.
All right. So you went to school, you were an actor, you were a performer. So what made you get to the other side, the market, the merchandising and that sort of thing?
Oh, well, right after school, I worked at a cafe, and I wanted to work in the theater at some capacity. I just wanted to be in the room. And so I went to Spamalot. It was at the Schubert Theater, and they had a little booth outside in the lobby that was open during the whole show. Mm-hmm. And so I just asked the person there, you know, how do you get a job in merchandise? And they said, we'll come back tomorrow and meet the manager.
Okay.
So I did. And he said, can you work matinees? I said, yes. He said, can you work Saturdays? I said, yes. He said, you're hired.
Oh, nice.
It was very easy to get into.
So availability was the
really key. Saved the day at that point. Because Spamalot was a big show. They had lots of what they're called satellite shows, which are little plays that a manager will manage from like a big show, Spamalot, and then we just send people to go work. They call it a satellite show. So,
okay.
Yeah. And they told me, you know, this will not be a full-time job. You will not pay your rent. And I said, challenge accepted. So, you know, there's 8 shows a week on Broadway. So you think 8 shifts, but I ended up working 14 shifts a week. I would do split shows where, you know, if a Sunday show was at 2 and then at a 3 o'clock show, I would go and, you know, I made up delivery shifts. Anyway, I loved my time at Max Merchandise.
What was it like standing there and selling? Is it like, are you, I guess, lack of better term, working on commission, or does it matter how many you sell, or like, how do you convince people to do all this?
It's fun. It's a challenge. There's no, there is a bit of commission actually. There used to be for shows. It's very different. The whole industry of merchandise is very different now than when I started.
You sound like an old timer. Back in my day.
Back in my day, we sold programs 5 miles in the snow. What was I talking about? I do this all the time. I forget what I'm that person who forgets.
We were talking about merchandising and selling it and.
Commission. Yeah. So. It was more of a pride thing. I was very good. I'm a very good salesman. I worked for the Disney stores growing up. I grew up real close to Disney. So I used to work for Disney. I was the voice of Mickey Mouse for the Disney stores here in Southern California and was always a great seller. So it was more of a pride thing. And, you know, it depends on the show. If you're working a really serious show, I mean, we did merch for the Normal Heart.
Oh, yeah.
And so trying to sell t-shirts after that show and everyone's, I mean, sobbing and everyone's very introspective and you're just there trying to like sell something. It's very awkward.
Yeah.
But for Spamalot or I did Avenue Q a lot, you can be a little more, you know, read the room and be a little more naughty. I have gotten in trouble for my sales techniques before. I almost got fired right off the bat.
Oh no.
at History Boys, it was a very, very long, brilliant, brilliant play, British play, very thick accents. So I used to, before the show, we sold the scripts and I used to say, hey, you know, buy the script, read ahead, go home early. And I guess some of the cast heard me before the show and they were like, get this guy out of here. So they had to like come and talk to me. You know what? I sold the most scripts out of anybody. Yeah. So whatever.
Who's going to actually do that? What patron's going to...
That's what I'm saying. Come on now.
Oh, wow.
Actors. Yeah, I was...
Sometimes a little thin-skinned and can't get a joke, but...
You know, and then I worked Annie for a long time, the tour of Annie, and we used to sell these stuffed dogs, and I would, of course, sell to the little kids. I mean, I had parents telling me I was the devil. Yeah, it was fun. Good times.
That's awesome. What is the weirdest thing that they wanted you to hawk?
The weirdest piece of merchandise. Ooh. Well, you know, there's not a lot. The producers of the show really dictate what the merchandise is. So we don't have much control. I remember for Mamma Mia, we wanted a shirt that says, who's your daddy?
Mm.
But the producers wouldn't let us have that. So
yeah,
I do have the one and only prototype of that shirt though in my collection.
That's awesome.
The weirdest piece, probably, I mean, we sold Spam, like actual edible Spam at Spam-a-Lot. We sold a lot of those. So that was in coconuts.
That's funny.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably I can believe that show's got the weirdest stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and we used to sell these really, in the show, they used to give an award out in the to an audience member, like it was a certain seat that would get chosen to be on stage. Yeah. And they used to give him this foot trophy thing, this foot award.
Yeah.
And so we sold them, and they were expensive. We sold them at the booth. So that was really weird, because why would you want one if you didn't win it? Anyway, the only time we really ever sold one is when it was a kid that was chosen, and they had a sibling, and the sibling was upset. We usually sold one to the parents to make the other kid happy.
Now before I get to the YouTube channel, I do want to know, what's the most expensive thing? Like, I can, like, I see expensive things when I go there, but what is the craziest, most expensive one that they wanted you to try and sell?
Oh, man. Again, Spam-a-Lot. We had a giant, giant stuffed killer rabbit that technically wasn't for sale. Mm-hmm. But we would get people all the time asking how much they were, and we'd say $500.
Yeah.
$500. And they would be like, okay, ha ha ha. But we had a drunk guy one night who was determined to buy the rabbit. He knew how much it was. We cleared it with our bosses, the corporate. And of course he came back, he was hammered. And of course he came back the next day and tried to return it. And sorry, no returns. So that was probably the most expensive thing I ever sold. But
that's funny.
In my merchandise.
So let's talk about the YouTube channel. Brought away by Ghostlight. How? Why? What made you start it?
You know, I had been searching for sort of my venue. Is that a weird way to put it? My outlet for what I wanted to do, be a theater historian. I sort of tried it all. You know, of course, when you are wanting to be a theater historian, whatever that is, you think book writing. That's mainly what people do.
Yeah.
And I just don't enjoy writing. Writing isn't that fun for me. I think I'm pretty good at it, but it's not an enjoyable thing. So, and a lot of the books have been written by now. And, excuse me. So I did that. I tried a podcast. I just did like mock versions of these things. And the podcast seemed to be good, but it just wasn't, I'm more of a visual guy. And I have been watching a lot of YouTube. My other passion is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm a big, you know, Captain America, Iron Man, all those. The MCU is my other Bible. So I watch a lot of YouTube videos for breakdowns and conspiracy theories and Easter eggs. And I just remember thinking, God, I wish there was a Broadway channel that sort of did this kind of thing and fun. And, you know, I like clips and whatnot. So I decided to sort of try my hand at that. And it really seemed to be a fit for me. It was fulfilling for me and I enjoyed it. And I thought the videos turned out pretty decent. So yeah. And it's been a year now. I just had my anniversary of my channel. So.
Wow. Well, congratulations on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Slowly so many people, you know, so many people start these things and then after like three episodes, they're done. Right.
Yes. And it was hard. You'll notice if you look through mine, there's a big gap in there of postings. And I definitely did, you know, you get burned out. I was trying to do a video a week, which was a mistake. Not a mistake, but it just wasn't doable. And I was probably really proud of myself most for getting back into it. Cause I'm definitely a guy who will start a million things and leave it by the wayside.
Yeah.
But I got back on the horse and it's still every episode's a struggle. Right now, the one I'm working on now, I'm struggling. It's you know, you get burned out, but
yeah,
got to keep going.
Yeah, I do not envy you. Like, podcast is one thing. When it's audio, editing is pretty easy. But when it's video, oh my, there's just so much more work. And I saw some of the stuff. And you add in all this other stuff.
Yes.
And you got to find the clips. And just...
Well, that's what takes so long. Is finding, yes, I have, so I do my, you know, I call it the bones of the video where I just edit me talking.
Yeah.
And that's usually pretty, I mean, I can do that in a day or two for a 20 minute video, but it's finding all the clips and the thing. Cause I also, they're all extensions of me. Whenever I can, I try to pick a clip or a saying that I like or means something to me. So,
yeah.
And yeah, it can get very, very involved.
That's crazy. So when, like, you have things like Broadway Breakdown, for example, that's one of the things that you do. And how do you choose the shows for Broadway Breakdown? Because I was looking at them, and you got Steel Pier, which is a pretty big show. And then you got Wildcat, a little bit small. Then you've got these really weird ones like I Had a Ball and Happy Hunting. Now, I have all the LPs for those. So I was like, oh, I know those. But most people are not going to know Buddy Hackett's I Had a Ball.
Right.
So what makes
Well, that's exactly why I wanted to. You know, I, in being a quote-unquote musical theater historian, you know, you're supposed to know these shows. So I like to, I hate just listening to a show. Mm-hmm. I hate just getting a cast recording for a show I don't know and just listening through it. Because, I mean, you get some of the story, but it's story-driven songs. I need to know the story. I need to know the context. And living in New York, there's Musicals Tonight and Encores. Musicals Tonight doesn't exist anymore, sadly. But they do sort of these shows that don't get performed often.
Yeah.
And so those are great opportunities to see these shows. And then once I see the show, I feel like I can then study and listen to different recordings and read different versions of the script and whatnot. But for shows like I Had a Ball, Wildcat, Happy Hunting, unless you're fortunate like me to have the script, which a lot of them aren't published, and I've just spent years sort of curating a collection of librettos, you're not really going to get to know the story. So I thought, well, at least I can sort of do a visual presentation to get the gist of the plots and snippets of the song, which always get me in trouble with copyright claims. Yeah. That's another story.
Yeah.
So I just choose shows that I want shows that don't have a movie version. Mm-hmm. I mean, mainly, you know, so really it shows that you're not going to know the story unless you have the script, and shows just I've always been curious about. You know, I just pick them. Sometimes I put a poll up on Facebook. I did an episode of Minnie's Boys, probably my most successful breakdown. Huh. I did a poll and somebody added Minnie's Boys to the poll and that won. And that's why I did Minnie's Boys. So, and that was probably my most popular breakdown. So you never know.
What is one of your favorite obscure weird shows that you really like that, you know, deserves
it? Oh man. Lil Abner is a show that I've grown up loving. I did it. I was Pappy Yoakum way back in my childhood acting days. And I don't know how obscure, because there's a movie version that's very accurate. I guess that's probably pretty obscure to most people. It's definitely problematic. I think it should have been revived during the Bush administration. I think it would have been absolutely perfect. It deals a lot with politics and, anyway, but
yeah.
Now it's sort of not really revivable, but that's a great one. And I've fallen in love with all the shows I've broken down too, you know, Minnie's Boys and Happy Hunting. You know, I don't know, I love all of them.
Yeah.
They feel like my children.
So you also do some other things on here, like top tens and Broadway background. What makes you start something like that, like the Broadway, the one that we were just talking about? That's easy, the Broadway Breakdown, you know where you're going. But how do you decide when you're just going to do background? What is there something that triggers you?
I made a list, just a list of topics I could potentially talk about, and then just every once in a while I'll just read through the list and hopefully something will jump out at me. Mm-hmm. to do. Yeah, I don't know. I just wait for inspiration to strike, I guess. I had written a bunch of articles for theaternerds.com. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it's a different website now, but I had written a bunch of articles. And so like sort of when I was just starting out, I used a lot of those articles as basis for my videos. So I could, you know, it'll get in the groove and I could put out more quickly if I had sort of a basis. So yeah. Those were sort of the earlier picks, as ones I'd already done a lot of research on. And then I just wait for inspiration and I try new things. You know, the top tens, I did a couple of those.
Yeah.
And those haven't been the most successful videos. So I haven't done one of those in a while. And I've tried trailer breakdowns recently, and that's done really well. So just trying things out.
Okay. What's been your favorite trailer? Because I saw you reviewed a few of them.
Yeah, I did a trailer. We did the West Side. My wife and I did the West Side Story trailer and then the Dear Evan Hansen trailer. And I mean, Dear Evan Hansen, the trailer, that breakdown video did very, very well. It's like almost 14,000 views, which for my little channel is bonkers.
Yeah, I'm looking at them going, that is a huge jump.
Yeah, I'm used to like in the 200 views. I mean, I'm small potato. So 14,000 is nutso to me. So, you know, that one will always be a favorite of mine. Just
For sure.
And then, you know, we woke up one day and it's just like, should we do it? I don't know. Well, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been great. So
have you seen the Tick, Tick, Boom video, the trailer yet?
No, you know, that came out. My wife and I were at Disneyland. Oh, okay. We went to Avengers Campus. It was my big day. I've been planning for forever going to Avengers Campus. I was dressed up as Captain America. It was this whole thing.
Wow.
And so that came out. And then so it was a whole day later until I even saw that it was up. So I haven't watched the trailer yet, just in case I choose to do a reaction. Yeah. But I've been working on an In the Heights video that's been killing me. So I have not done Tick, Tick, Boom. I don't know if we'll see. Maybe I will. I don't know.
You know, that's the thing. You never, right? It's whatever strikes your fancy. It's your channel.
Exactly.
You do whatever you want, right?
That's right.
That's the nice thing about it, running your own thing. You're like, if I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it.
Yeah, because it's my show and not yours. Do you watch Trixie and Katya? Do you know? Are you drag queen, drag race?
No, fan? I don't watch those shows.
So. Oh, okay. All right. Never mind then.
I do watch the MCU, though. I've watched that.
So. Oh, yeah? Well, we can talk about that anytime.
Yeah, I just finished Falcon and the... Oh, he's called Falcon and the Snowman. I know that's wrong.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That's it. I knew it was some kind of winter thing. I always forget.
Last night was episode 2 of Loki, so that was really exciting.
Yeah, I'm holding off on that till I get them all, and then I'll just drop them all at once. But yeah, but we went off on a tangent. But hey, do you think there'll ever be an MCU musical?
You know, I did a video on Dreamcasting the MCU on Broadway. That's probably my worst video that I've done. the worst video. So you won't get, I guess there's not a whole lot of MCU/Broadway fans like me, I guess. But I think so. I mean, they did. I saw Spider-Man many times on Broadway.
How was that? I know what that is. I'm so disappointed because I never got to see it because I couldn't get down to New York at that point. And unfortunately, we all know it'll never be put on again, though I have been wanting to do it as a community theater project.
That would be something.
Yeah.
My wife, actually, that was her first show as a dresser. She worked backstage, and her mother as well was a dresser, my mother-in-law. So
that must have been insane. That must have been insane, dressing.
Was insane. So yeah, so I saw, there was many opening nights planned and we get tickets and then they'd cancel opening nights, but the party would still, everything would be booked. Oh, so yeah. There was many fopening nights, we called them. So I was at several fopening nights of Spider-Man. So I saw 1.0 a few times and I saw opening night of 2.0. It was a very interesting show. I mean, Julie Taymor does incredible things. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have, and at that point, I was not into Marvel. I came into Marvel very late. So I had no, Spider-Man and the mythology around Spider-Man didn't like hold a sacred place to me. So messing with it didn't really bother me like it did a lot of people. And she brought some really cool stuff to it. And it was a really interesting show, at least. I mean, it wasn't successful. It contained one of the craziest, worst numbers in musical theater history called Deeply Furious.
Yeah.
Which they all had. Anyway, it was a Spider-Woman number. Crazy. But when they changed it up for 2.0, it really just became sort of the first Tobey Maguire movie on stage.
Oh.
So while it was more cohesive, I guess, it wasn't as exciting to me as 1.0.
Yeah, it just sometimes going a little bit different and bonkers is, it's not commercially, but it's more interesting to watch the 1.0, right?
Yeah, but people take Spider-Man very seriously. I mean, you know, I guess if people did a Captain America musical now and really mess with his backstory, I guess I'd be pretty pissed too. So I get it.
True, but you know what? The comic book does that all the time. They mess with backstories and changes.
That's true.
And Morales is now Spider-Man, right? In a different universe.
Yep.
who knows? People, calm down, people. Just calm down.
It's just musical theater.
Exactly. So Mark, what is the channel again for the YouTube if people want to look it up there? What's it called?
It's again? Broadway by Ghostlight.
Okay. So they just put that into YouTube and they'll be able to
find. Yes. I'm working on broadwaybyghostlight.com and getting a website, but right now it doesn't exist. So, if you're listening to this months later, maybe check. But right now, just go to YouTube. Yeah, Broadway by Ghostlight. Also on Twitter, you can find me. I think I'm at B-Way Ghostlight.
Yes, you are. That's where I think I found you. I can't even remember how we found each other. Either I contacted you or you, I can't even remember anymore. But that's okay. I'm glad I did.
There you go. Me too.
Awesome. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on and introducing people to your channel. And let's get all your videos up to the same level as the Dear Evan Hansen trailer.
I would love that. That would be wonderful. That would
be fantastic. Now, before we go, I always ask my guests three questions. There's no right or wrong answer to any of these questions, though there is one that we will judge you on.
Depending on what you say.
So, question number one, is there a creator or team within musical theater that has had an influence on you? No, this could be a composer, a lyricist, director, producer, dresser, stage manager even. It could be somebody famous or not famous, like a teacher. Is there anybody who's had an influence on you from musical theater?
Oh, man. Well, I did have a mentor in high school, Roy Diaz, who sort of developed my love for the history of musical theater. And he really, wanted me to know all aspects of the art if I was going to go into it. So he was definitely a big influence on me. And, I'm happy that I love both classical musical theater and current musical theater. I think growing up in the children's theater world, I learned Rodgers and Hammerstein and all the classics first, because Rent, was like, ooh, that's adult. We don't talk about Rent. And then growing and then getting into it in high school, exploring the current, the then current world of musical theater. So I have a nice love of all genres and eras. So I'm fortunate in that way, I guess I'll say.
Nice. And I love when people mention, somebody like that, a teacher or somebody who influenced them. A lot of people say, Sondheim or Lin-Manuel or whatever. I'm like, okay, great. But peep the unsung heroes of.
Yeah, the real people who, I wouldn't be who I am or where I am without him, so.
It's fantastic. Well, that is a correct answer. One correct answer so far.
Yay!
1 out of 1. All right, question number 2. When you moved to New York, was there any skills that the Muppets taught you that made life easier on Broadway and in New York in general?
Oh man, yeah. Well, I was used to the rats really off the bat.
Yeah.
I was really sad that they didn't have more rat waiters and things in New York. That was a bummer. They, I guess you just had me to never give up.
Nice.
Just to keep going, and that's what I've done. It seemed after school you could either stay in New York and survive or go back home and do theater. That seemed to be the option.
Yeah.
Some people made it out. Some people are successful. And I went to school with some people who have done very well on Broadway, but for the most part, not so much. So okay. I don't know. That's a really weird answer to your question.
It's a really weird question, but as a side question, which Muppet do you relate to most in that movie?
Fozzie Bear.
Okay.
I've always loved Fozzie. I'm a Waka Waka, dad joke, puns, all day long. I remember my very first videotape I was ever given, young as a kid, is a video called, "Hey, You're As Funny As Fozzie Bear."
What?
Fozzie Bear taught you how to tell jokes. And I feel like that was very influential in my life.
I gotta find that. That seems like
video. It's a VHS. I don't even know. I'd have to look it up. I wonder if it's on YouTube.
Yeah, should check that, see if they have somebody copy.
I should get into that.
That is awesome. That is a, 1.5 points for that answer. Now I have something.
Woo! I'm doing really well.
2.5 out of 2 points so far. All right, third question, most revealing about you. Food in the theater or cell phones in the theater? What is worse?
Oh, God. I mean, cell phones, of course, are, but food, yeah. Mm. Yeah. All of it. All of it. I've yelled at people, like yelled at really? People, like too, like a little too far, where like the whole mez is like looking at me yelling at these kids.
Wow.
You know, it's all bad.
Just that is the correct answer.
It's all bad. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I both are just awful, and I can't do
just it. Like, I mean, it's 2.5 hours max, not even sometimes. Like, you can live just silently quiet,
yeah,
sitting for that amount of time.
Yep, I know.
You don't need to eat or drink.
Think of all the people who watched Buddy Hackett and I Had a Ball, and they didn't have their cell phone, they missed some phone calls, they were okay,
didn't.
They lived.
They lived, they saw Buddy Hackett. Oh, my God. What a weird show that is. I Had a Ball.
I listened to it. I listened to it before I even knew about you, because I had the LP and I put it into my station. So, yeah, but you lose a lot just by listening to the
LP. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's all very weird. It is.
Well, Mark, 3.5 points out of 3.
Woohoo! You've
done pretty much the best I've ever had.
I think that's the bank.
I have no prizes for you, but you get to lord over other people.
I'm cool with that.
Mark, thank you so much for coming on today and introducing people to Broadway by Ghostlight, the YouTube.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I hope, hopefully people will check it out and subscribe.
Awesome. All right. We were speaking with Mark Benani from Broadway by Ghostlight, the YouTube channel. Tune in next week as we'll be speaking with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.